We are in part two of a series called Face the Book. And worship team, I got to say, what an amazing worship set today, especially that last song, No Other Name, above Jesus. And we're going to explore the scripture today and look at the names of God. But before we get there, most of us have heard of this media thing called Facebook, right? So at least all of us have heard of it. Has anybody not ever heard of Facebook? I want to go where you live if you've never heard of it. But we've all heard of it, and most of us probably use Facebook, and I would venture to say that there's probably a few of us that are addicted to Facebook. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. It's not an intervention. But there's a lot of people that spend hours and hours of a day on social media like Facebook. And you know, you're that type of person that you get this notification of new friend request. Woohoo! Or you get a notification that somebody liked something that you put on there, a picture of your dinner or whatever it is that you put on Facebook. You get that dopamine hit, right? When you get this like. And there's probably a bunch of you out there that do that. And so let me ask you this question. This is a response question. Again, it's not for any judgment reasons or anything like that. But how many of you will admit that you are on Facebook at least once a day? Raise your hand. Once a day. Okay. How about every other day? A couple of you, okay? How many would say once an hour? No, I'm not kidding. I'm kidding. Not going to go there. Not going to go there. But here's the question. This is why I asked that. Here's a challenging question that I want us to ponder this morning. You ready? If you're ready, say uh-huh. Where would our lives be if for every minute that we spent on the internet checking Facebook, reading or sending emails, or watching crazy dumb videos on YouTube, where would our lives be if we would spend equal amounts of time in this book? Oh, snap. Pastor just went there, right? We're not even in the middle of the message and he's getting to this stuff. Where would our lives be? Think about that. Where would your life be for every minute that you're on social media, you swap it for being in the Word? Every minute that you are watching YouTube videos or TikTok or Instagram or whatever your jam is there, what would your life be like if you matched that with equal time in the Word of God? Think about it. Soak it in. You ready? If you're ready, buckle up. We're going to have some fun today. No? But here's why I asked that question, because I have in my notes here, the thing that consumes your time will be the guide to your life. The things that consume your time will be the guide to your life, right? That is, whatever you focus on gets bigger, whatever you spend the most of the time in, that's what you value. We all value things, right? And different things, some of us value the same things. But we value things, and that's where our time goes, is what we value. And if we're spending more time valuing the worldly things, ooh, and not godly things, our priorities are messed up, right? And that's a whole nother sermon. That one's for free today. We're going to keep going. I knew this guy once, I still know this guy, but it was a guy who was consumed with sports, right? How many of us are sports fanatics in here? It's nothing to be ashamed of, really. I like sports. We love them, okay? He was consumed with sports, but most specifically football, okay? He loved football. He watched high school football. He watched college football. He watched arena football, pro football. Whatever, if there was football, he is watching it, right? He's consumed with it. And he watched every game, every pregame, every postgame. He watched it all. His entire life was revolved around football. So much so that it affected when he slept. It affected when he ate. And even when he would show up for work, it impacted. That's a crazy, crazy fanatic right there, right? And it was a good day when his teams won, and it was a horrible day when they lost. He obviously wasn't a Bears fan like I am, because we just lose, right? But he was. Now, I thought about him a lot in this, and I was thinking about this. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of power to give people that have no clue of even who you are, even if you exist, over your life. Right? Think about that. It's a lot of power to give people who don't even know or care about your existence. So today, I want to spend some time in the book. It's my favorite book. Just so in case you weren't here last week, it's the number one best-selling book in the entire world. It's also the number one most shoplifted book in the world today as well. So it's crazy. And there's some crazy things. We were talking a little bit, Rock and I were talking a little bit about this week. And so one of the things that Rock shared with me that I didn't know was, anybody know, without Rock speaking in or his wife, what the longest book of the Bible, the longest chapter of the Bible is? Psalms 119. And what's the shortest? Psalms 117. That's right? And it's like three verses. So two verses. We were going to memorize the entire chapter of Psalms 117 this week. So we could say we memorized the chapter. Yeah, we got it.
Did you get it?
No, I didn't. It was just too long. But here's the crazy thing. The middle of the book, the middle of the Bible is Psalms 118. And the right smack dab in the middle of that is Psalms 118 verse 8. That's the middle, dead center of the Bible. Now check this out. This is even crazier. You ready? There is 1,188 verses or chapters in the Bible. 1,188. The middle of the book is Psalms 118:8. 1188. Cool. Tell me God's not cool. And that's the middle of the book. Boom, right there. And that's how many chapters are in the book. Isn't that cool? If it's cool, say uh-huh. Uh-huh. If you're like, Pastor, you got way too much time on your hands, just don't say nothing. We'll just be quiet, okay? So I'm going to spend some time in the book today, and I want, and here's what my heart is. I want to allow God to reveal to us who he is. Did you know that that's what this book does? This book reveals to us who he is, right? Who he is, his character, those kinds of things. But too many times that we believe what others say about God versus actually looking in the Word of God ourselves to find out where we're placing our trust and find out the truth for ourselves instead of listening. And you guys heard me say this. Don't just take my word for what I'm saying. Go in home and dig into it, right? Because even though I work really hard at bringing this rightly, is that a right word? Rightly, I'm a man and I'm fallible and I mess up. But I work hard at not doing that. But here's the thing: some of you would never know if I was speaking fallacy or heresy or not, because you're not in the book. Get in the book and allow the God that we serve to begin to speak to you. Making sense? To look into it and find out for yourselves the truth that's in there and that kind of stuff. John 8:32, Jesus says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Right? But you've got to know the truth. So today we're going to look at the seven Hebrew names for God and what they mean. Now, I'm going to go on record to say right now, I will probably butcher some of these words because they're Hebrew words, and I'm not Hebrew. I don't speak the language, okay? So I'm going to do my best. So don't throw stuff at me if I don't get it right, okay? Here's where it is. Number one, and here's my goal with this first. My goal is to be able to show you the true character of God. The true character of God. Number one, and most of us have probably heard this name, Jehovah Jireh. Right? Jehovah Jireh. The Lord our provider. In Genesis chapter 22, we read the account where God challenges Abraham to sacrifice his son, his only son, Isaac. Right? Abraham takes his son to the wilderness where he gathers wood to sacrifice his son as a burnt offering to the Lord. He lays Isaac down on the pile of wood, ready to be obedient to the Lord. Sidebar, does anybody know where that took place? Where that sacrifice was spoken? Where
Christ was crucified, I believe.
Mount Moriah, yeah, right? It's actually the mountains of Moriah is how it is. It's not just one mountain. It's a region. And I didn't know that till I was in Israel. That was pretty cool. But Mount Moriah, which is also where the Temple Mount in Jerusalem is on. Mount Moriah. Isn't that crazy? So Jerusalem is built. The Temple Mount is on Mount Moriah. That's where Abraham was with Isaac when he came. And it's nuts when you start looking at some of this stuff. But that's where it's at. So just as Abraham is raising his knife to sacrifice his son, who, as we all know, was a gift from God in the first place, right? Abraham was like 100-something years old. And Sarah was in her 90s when God gave... A son, just think about that, ladies, all right? You're in your 90s being pregnant. How many would say, no, thank you, right? Right? God, I just don't need that gift, God, right? So we live in a total different culture. He's got his knife raised up to sacrifice his son, and the angel of the Lord calls out and says, don't lay a hand on the boy. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son, right? Which is a foreshadowing of Jesus picking up and throwing down his only son. Sounded familiar? You have not withheld him from me. Abraham looked up, and then in a thicket he saw a ram caught by his horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. First name of God that we see shows his character. The Lord will provide. Provide. Say that to your neighbor. The Lord will provide. Now, this was not always Mount Moriah, but at that spot, when they talk about it, that's what they talk about. This is the place that the Lord will provide. Really, really awesome. Really, really awesome. Philippians 4:19, and it says, and my God will meet all your needs. The Lord will provide. According to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Number two, you ready? Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Victory, right? The Lord our banner. Now this was not always a traditional flag or banner, but sometimes it was referred to a rod or a staff. Okay? So you got a little bit of mental picture here. Let me share the scripture with you. Exodus 17:9. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. Jehovah Nissi. Right? It's not a flag that flopped. It was a rod. It was his staff. Okay? Exodus 17:11-13 goes on and says, As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it underneath him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on each side, one on the other, one on one side, one on the other side, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. Can you imagine putting your hands up all day long and holding them here? My arms are tired right now. I couldn't imagine. And you're holding a staff, right? It's crazy. Until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Verses 15 through 16. Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nissi." He said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." Now, every army, even to current day, still fight under a flag, under a banner. When we go to war, when we're in other countries, the American flag is there, right? It's there. We fight under that. We fight for that, even today. Now, the flag itself has no power. Okay, I need you to understand that. No power in itself. But it signifies to the soldiers that they have power and resources provided by the nation that they're fighting for. Does that make sense? So as Christians, we fly God's banner because we have at our disposal all of God's strength and resources. Making sense? So Jehovah Nissi. 2 Corinthians, let's go to the New Testament and just look at it a little bit. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him." Triumphant procession, okay? Jehovah Nissi. So in Numbers chapter 21, once again, the people are complaining and grumbling. But this time, they face another danger when poisonous snakes begin to bite them and they start to die. Now, here's the crazy thing. After they came and confessed their sin to Moses, the Lord told Moses to make a fiery serpent and put it on a pole. You guys familiar with that story? Now, whoever looked at the banner, whoever looked at him, would live. Whoever didn't and was bit by a snake would die, okay? Now, we still see this symbol. You can see it up on the PowerPoint. Still see this symbol today at many hospitals and medical centers. That's where they get it, the bronze serpent. Crazy? Now, here's a crazy thing, and you get this one for free too, okay? You ready? Let me bounce over here to John chapter 3. John, this is not in the PowerPoint, guys. John chapter 3, this just popped in my head. Let me read this, verses 12. Actually, let me start in verse 10. Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things." Okay? He's talking to Nicodemus right here, okay? "I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you wouldn't believe our testimony. You won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things?" Nicodemus is just getting it handed to him right here, okay? "No one has ever gone to heaven and returned but the Son of Man." This is Jesus talking, right? Now check this out. "He has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life." Now, that bronze snake was not what was saving them. Okay? It was their faith in God that commanded Moses to make that bronze snake. It was faith. And that's what Jesus is saying. He is proclaiming, he's using that account to tell them about his future, to be raised up and sacrificed, right? Raised up as a banner of victory. You seeing what I'm seeing? You hearing what I'm saying? God, Jesus himself is going back to the New Old Testament and referring to this because Every story has another story in it. When Jesus is teaching, he is referring back to the Old Testament. And I'm excited. I'm excited for our family service when we start, when Callie and I are going to tag team going through our trips to Israel, because we're going to show you some amazing things. And I just got a word for you. I'm excited for it. But this is that kind of a thing. Jesus is going back and saying, look, this banner right here is representing me now. He's trying to reveal himself to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus ain't getting it. And so it's just amazing. That's just a little thing. So we still see this in John chapter, okay, we talked about that in John chapter 3. Well, this is what it is. Nicodemus begins to ask the question about how to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus tells him he must be born again. That's the preset of this. I got a little bit ahead of myself, okay? And then in order to drive it home, Jesus references this verse, just as Moses lifted up, and he's just talking about, he's revealing himself, his character, his purpose, right? Jesus is Jehovah Nissi, the banner of salvation. He was lifted up on a wooden cross, bringing victory over sin and Satan, and those who look to him will be saved. Picking up what I'm throwing down? Colossians 2:15 says it is a wonderful picture of Christ's triumphant victory and having disarmed, everybody say disarmed, disarmed, the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now the word disarm, that's why I had you repeat it. It literally means stripped. Stripped, as in stripped a defeated enemy of their armor and on the battlefield. They're stripped of their armor. They're stripped of their weapons. Nothing can harm you. So what Jesus did on the cross disarmed. It stripped Satan of his armor. It stripped him of his power in our lives. So we have victory over sin and death. That's what he's saying. You got it? The powers and authorities of this evil world tried to strip Christ of his clothing and his popularity, made a public spectacle of him on the cross, and thought that they had triumphed over him by putting him to death. Now, we celebrate that on Easter Sunday, right? Friends, evil no longer has power over us. None. Because Christ stripped Satan's weapons, and he is now disarmed. Cool? I think that's cool. I don't know about the rest of you. Number three, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. Shalom. Judges chapter 6, verses 20 through 24. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace, shalom, peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it the Lord of peace, Jehovah Shalom. To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abizrites, or however you say that word. They had some really cool words back then. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, right? The peace of God, Jehovah Shalom, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. John 14, 26 and 27. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. Jehovah Shalom. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jehovah Shalom. Number four. Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord our shepherd. Psalm 23, that's the first scripture that probably popped in your mind when you heard the word shepherd, is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Ra'ah. I shall The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. We're going to come back to that whole chapter at the end. But John 10, 11 through 15, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father and I lay my life down for the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Ra. Number five, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Ezekiel 48, 35, and the name of the city from that time on will be the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah. Matthew, let's go to the New Testament, 28 verses 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jehovah Shammah. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. There we see the character of God, right? Jehovah Shammah. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can men do to me? And verse 8 of Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is, the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah. And this one's a good one. Number 6, Jehovah Tsidkenu. You see the spelling at the top? Does that sound like Tsidkenu? Hooked on phonics don't help in this one. All right. Tsidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. Jeremiah 23, 6, in his days Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. We don't stand in our own goodness, right? Nothing we do is good apart from God. We can do nothing without God. We have no righteousness outside of Jesus. Tsidkenu, Jehovah Tsidkenu. Romans 3, 21 through 25. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of God, the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, 34. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Jehovah Tsidkenu. Number 7, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Thank you, Jesus, that we have this one, right? Number 7, we love this one. Exodus 15, 25, 26, there the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you, Jehovah Rapha. Paul talks about this in Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Peter talks about it in 1 Peter 2, 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. And here's the crazy thing. You look at, let's go back to Galatians. Here's another interesting story. You go back to Galatians chapter 3, and it says, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Now, bounce back up to John chapter 10. Let me get there real quick. John chapter 10. Here's another sermon within a sermon. You're like, oh, wow. Thank you, Pastor. You're welcome. John chapter 10. We just talked about the shepherd. He's the shepherd and his sheep, right? So it says, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Any idea what he's talking about right there? Any guesses? He's really talking about the Pharisees, right? The religious leaders. They're sheep. They don't really care about them. They're going to run when they see the wolf. But Jesus is the great shepherd, right? I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Now, let's check this out. Let me find it. Good shepherd. Okay, verse 3, the gatekeepers open the gates for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he gathered the flock, he walks. Okay, let me see. If I can, I am the good shepherd. There we go. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me just as a father. I have other sheep too. This is in verse 16, I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice and they will be one flock with one shepherd. What is he saying there? Check this out. Let's go back down here. This is going to be a mind blower. It was for me. In chapter 3 of Galatians, verse 14, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. I have other sheep, not of this sheepfold. He's talking to the Jews, right? Who is the chosen people of God. And he said, they know my voice, but there's other sheep, Gentiles, that are not of this sheepfold. He is prophesying right there that what Paul's going to be doing when he comes to the Lord, he's using Paul, whose Jewish name is Saul, and he changes it. He's the only disciple that has dual citizenship. He is. He is a Jewish descent and a Pharisee, a very well-educated Pharisee, but he's also a Roman. Isn't that crazy? God calls Paul to be the voice to the Gentiles. Jesus is prophesying about that before it even happens. That's what prophesying is about. That there's other sheep that are going to know my voice. The Gentiles. That's cool. Man, that is the coolest stuff ever, right? And it's the whole thing, the blessing given to Abraham that he would have descendants upon more than the numbers of sand, more than the stars in the sky. That's what's going on right here. Isn't that cool? I think I'm the only one that's really excited about that. I think that's awesome. The cool thing about it, and we're going to get into this way more. So let me wrap this up this morning. Let me wrap this up as the worship team comes. There are some people that would say God is a child abuser. And that God puts sickness and disease on his kids. And he does all this stuff. It's all God. If you've got cancer, it's because God doesn't like you. He's given you this. There's people that say that. There's people that say that. Others say that he puts you through difficult times and wants to keep you poor, to keep you humble. And there's all these, I could go on and on and on about what people say about God. But what we see and what we read about today, what we read about today, is the real character of God. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. He is Jehovah Nisi. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah Ra'ah and Shema. He's all, that's his character. That's his character. The reason that sickness and disease is in the world isn't because of God, it's because of sin. And if you want to know the true character of God, you'll never know it until you get in the book. Get in the book. Face the book. Our God who is our provider, our God who is our peace, our God who is our righteousness, our God who is the shepherd ever present, our victory and our healer. In the book of Psalms 23, I said I was going to come back to this. The only chapter in the Bible that I see all the character of God listed in it. Let's read it together. Can I just ask you to stand? If you can stand, I want you to stand and read this. I'm going to read it, but I want you to listen. And then we're going to close in the song. Here it is, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Ra'ah. I shall not be in want. My provider, Jehovah Jireh. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of my peace. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jehovah Tsidkenu. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's Jehovah Nisi, right? My banner, the Lord is our banner. You prepare a table in my presence of my enemies. There's Jehovah Nisi. You anointed my head with oil, my healer, Jehovah Rapha. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, thank you. Thank you for revealing your character to us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your desire and to be with us, your desire to have relationship with us. Lord God, you give us this book to learn about you, to grow in you, to be guided and given direction and wisdom and life, Lord God. Everything that we need or could want is founded in this book. Thank you for your character that is strong and never changing. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, my prayer is that all of us would take time to face the book. That we would be in your word, your spoken word that is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, sharp enough to separate bone from marrow, from spirit and soul, Lord God. Creating us a desire, a hunger for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Worship team, close us out.